Okay, welcome to the Lindroth Hockey Podcast here with father and son, Andrew and Jim Lindroth. Andrew, how you doing? Where are you, Andrew?
I'm doing pretty good. Yep, Dad. In the middle of tour in Jacksonville, Florida on the beach. So kind of weird doing a podcast episode like this, but I'm still glad we get to do this.
Yeah, so we're going to cover today all the or most of the NHL trades, particularly the Boston Bruins trades. But first of all, Andrew, give your band a little self-promotion here. You've been on tour with your band for about 20 days or so, and how's it going and where are you at?
Yeah, so like I said, we're in Jacksonville, Florida right now. This is day 21 on our tour. So if you like punk rock, alt rock type music, more Sum 41, Blink 182, early, you'd like our music. So check us out, and we'll be doing this as much as we can and trying to get our names out there. So if you like that kind of music, check us out. We're working hard all over the East Coast these 30 days. So it's been
Yeah,
awesome.
so you kind of cut out when you said the name of the band. The name of the band is Through It All. You can find them on Spotify and elsewhere and watch their videos. So, Andrew, try to get in a better spot here in case you do break up, but we'll go for it here today. What beach are you on, by the way? Some beach in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville Beach, Florida, specifically. Yeah, the one
Okay.
right on that.
Okay, so the trade deadline highlights here. We're going to quickly run through this. Let's talk a little bit about the Vegas Golden Knights. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, Dad, the Golden Knights, we all know the trick that they're doing. This is literally salary cap manipulation, which, by the way, is 100% legal. You could be upset about it all you want, but, Mark Stone, 11 and a half million, I think, was, or 15 million for the deadline was made available by putting him on the long-term injured reserve list. They got Tomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, and who was the other one? They also got Anthony Mantha from the Capitals. So, Dad, they loaded up. And I think the Vegas Golden Knights, man, they're between them and the Florida Panthers. I think those are the two teams to beat again this year. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you can complain all you want, but it's legal there. So it'll be interesting to follow Vegas. Okay, let's go on here. Go ahead with Toronto.
Yeah, Dad, I'm curious about Toronto. I didn't think that they had a good deadline. I don't think that they addressed the offense at all. They did add Lyubushkin. So Lyubushkin's making a comeback to the team on defense. And then Joel Edmondson, who was playing with the Capitals. Good sandpaper, good bottom pairing defensive guys. But, Dad, they still haven't addressed the goaltending issue, which is going to be an issue after this season when they only have Joseph Woll under contract. Everybody else will be unrestricted free agents. And again, they're a bottom six, man. They're needing some help right now. No offense, if you're dressing guys like Ryan Reeves every night, that's going to be an issue because they need a lot more talent right now that's going to be able to provide the secondary scoring because Austin Matthews cannot be the only person producing the scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. So Toronto, the woes continue, but you can never count them out. I'll take the next one, Andrew, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So pretty much if the playoffs started today, the Boston Bruins would be facing them in the first round. So we might be seeing them very, very soon. They're still able to make some moves to improve. They picked up Dumba on D and Anthony Duclair, who had a goal, and Dumba had a fight in their opening game. Fit pretty well with Tampa. They were about to get Hanifin, but don't have a pick in the 24 draft until the fifth round. So no first round pick in 2025. Going all in the last few years have taken a toll as expected. Give us some feedback, Andrew.
Yeah, I agree, Dad. And I think that one of the main things about Tampa is, like you just said, they've went all in. It's kind of like the Bruins. You don't have a lot of draft capital. You've been trying to do these different trades at the deadlines in the offseason. But Tampa's kind of like Vegas, where they've really gone all in. They're trying to capture this window with Kucherov and Stamkos still. And look, they did it, Dad. They've won a pair of cups. They're almost like a dynasty at this point. I mean, this team will be remembered forever. But, they're still trying to make it work. They didn't have enough to make Noah Hanifin work, which I think was okay. I mean, they still have pretty good defense, but I think just the cheap additions of Matt Dumba, which, by the way, Dad, Arizona said they wanted to fetch a first-round pick. They not only got Matt Dumba, but they also got a seventh-round pick in exchange for a fifth-round pick, I think, in 2026 or something. So Tampa did a great job with that. I don't remember the Duclair details on that trade, but they seemingly fit. Do decent ads for them, and Dad, I still think Tampa is still one of those teams built for the playoffs. They've definitely been worn down over the years. They've got some wear and tear on those guys, but they know what it takes to win. And I mean, look at who we got, Dad. I mean, not to move on to the Bruins too quickly, but Patrick Maroon, one of those proven guys that's won cups over and over again. So that's still a team to watch, man. There's still a team to beat.
Hey, bring us through Pittsburgh, Andrew.
You know, Dad, I was kind of surprised at Pittsburgh. Dubas, his first season there. Dad, the big trade was Jake Guentzel, right? And that's Sidney Crosby's boy. Jake Guentzel's been there since, he was drafted, won the cups with them all. And, this is pretty tough for the team, man. This is kind of like almost like, a Krejci or a Bergeron being traded. I mean, one of their main players. So very interesting to see him traded, Dad. I'm very surprised at the return that they got. I thought that Jake Guentzel could probably get a little bit more, but they did get a first round draft pick and Michael Bunting in return. Michael Bunting scored on his first game. He was the first one to score since the trade deadline. So, that'll work out for him, but I don't know if they won that trade, man. Jake Guentzel. But Dad, here's the thing. Carolina's loaded up with that. The thing about Carolina is Carolina didn't re-sign him or doesn't even have an extension in place, and he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So that's quite the expensive rental. Clearly, Carolina's going all in with Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah. All right. Take us through the next one, Andrew.
Yeah. So the next one. So Calgary, Dad, this was another team that I wanted just to bring up because since last offseason, they've obviously made some big trades, even the season before that, the Tkachuk, Huberdeau trade, and trading out Gaudreau as well. But Dad, if you look at the list here, they traded the biggest rental players in Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev, and Noah Hannafin throughout the year. They traded all of them and brought back Kuzmenko, Johnny Yormo, and a couple of other players that are going to be fringe NHL guys. And then two first-round picks, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, conditional third, and a conditional fourth, all scattered out through 2024, 2026. So they got quite the haul. Kuzmenko is one of those guys from Vancouver that, with the new scenery, could do really well with Calgary. I'm curious how that goes. I like the Flames, man. I've always liked the type of style that they play too, Dad. And, I hope that Calgary can pick it back up, man. They weren't the same since they lost the Tkachuks and everything. So, or the Tkachuk and the Gaudreaus. So.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the Bruins, why don't you run through what we got, and then we'll offer some our opinions.
Yeah, Dad. So I'm curious what your opinions are. Obviously, the Bruins wanted to do a lot during the deadline. There's plenty of rumors, and Dad, rumors are rumors, right? But one of the main things I want to talk about first is, we needed a center, right? Matt Betrieu was injured out pretty much for the rest of the year. Now we're really down on centers. Elias Lindholm was one of those guys that the Bruins were looking at in a three-way trade. It ended up not working out, but they did go ahead and pick up Pat Maroon. Obviously a proven Stanley Cup guy. He's coming back from back surgery, so it might be a little bit till he gets in, more so just a playoff rental guy. And then the most interesting one, Dad, is Andrew Peak. He's a guy making a couple million. He's got a couple years left on his contract. So they're kind of beefing up that third pairing. He hasn't worked out too well in Columbus. He's a big guy. I think he's 6'3", 6'4", 220 pounds. Would probably play pretty well with the Bruins organization. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But so far, Andrew Peak was starting to not even crack the lineup in Columbus. So either they have a lot of faith in him, or they see something that they could do to change and make it positive. So it'll be interesting, Dad. But he's got a pretty big contract. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but I think he's getting paid almost $3 million a year, maybe a little bit more, something like that. So yeah, it's an interesting pickup.
So let's talk about Ullmark. Ullmark was on the trading block, I heard, through going to New Jersey and LA, but however, due to his 16 team no trade clause, he actually pulled the plug out of both of those. Now, Ullmark said that he wanted to stay with the Bruins. I think he's what, 5.5 mil a year. I think it was a good deal to keep Ullmark and Swayman there in Boston. Not only are they tight as friends, but they're also tight as the goaltending tandem. And while you could make the case of clearing some cap space and getting rid of Ullmark, I think, and we may see Ullmark move this summer, But I think it was a smart move for the Bruins. I don't think bringing in another goalie or even bringing up Boosie is going to solve the playoff problem in the net for Boston if Swayman gets hurt or Swayman gets cold.
Well, and here's the thing about the Bruins, Dad, too, is what a lot of fans got to realize: you can't go all in every year. We knew that last year was the all-in year with this, with the circumstances, with the trades made, the future's given up. This year was supposed to be a transition year. You know, Don Sweeney did great this offseason with his bargain shopping, getting guys like Shattenkirk, Van Riemsdyk, Heinen, all for $1 million or lower. Okay, so he's done a great job there. You can argue about the trade deadline acquisitions. If Andrew Peak could work out, man, then that's a great trade right there. Yeah, you don't like trading the third round. I was hoping it was just Zboril one for one, but a third round with it, not great. But if we could, you know, if this guy could work out, it would be great. The thing is, Dad, the Bruins are in the transition year, and all they have is their strong defense, their goalie tandem, which are top 10 goalie tandem in the league, and then relying on the Pastrnak shooting and scoring. Because what's the struggle always been with the Bruins? It's been the scoring depth. And now that we don't have centers like Bergeron, Krejci, and haven't loaded up with Coyle in the back or Zacha to float in, I mean, it's tough right now. But I think the Bruins are making it work. But you're missing the, you know, you're missing Matt Petrov. That one hurts. You know, you've been missing some other guys here and there. But if a fully healthy Bruins team, I still think that they could take you in the playoffs. It's just a matter of their will, Dad. You know, some of these games recently since the All-Star break, they've been really, really struggling. And sometimes it's like big mental mistakes that you're just like, are they not buying in? People obviously questioning if you know, if it's falling on deaf ears with Montgomery's message to the locker room. I don't know what it is. It's a long season, as you know, Dad, but Bruins are still sitting, what, third or fourth in the league right now. So there's a lot of arguments to be made on both sides.
Yeah, definitely. I like the Pat Maroon trade. I know so do the Bruins. I'm sure there was medical personnel that have evaluated and assessed when he's able to come back. He's definitely a playoff rental, but he's exactly the type of player that you and I have been talking about for 3 years on these podcasts that the Bruins need. They get beat up, they get intimidated and banged around, and nobody steps up to the plate. It happened in my opinion, several playoff series, also the 2011, Stanley Cup run, they just got outbeaten. They just got beaten down. And same thing in the last few playoff years. So I don't think there's going to be anybody that's going to mess with, say, Charlie McAvoy, because I think he's been a target for opponents in the last two playoff seasons. Nobody's going to mess with McAvoy with Pat Maroon out there. It's just, you know, he'll clean up business. So I am thrilled that we have this rental here. If we keep him, great. If he retires, great. But he's definitely for the playoffs, and it's exactly what we need. And my hat's off to Don Sweeney on that.
And the thing is, too, Dad, is Pat Maroon can play hockey. You know, a lot of people like to give Toronto a lot of shit about Ryan Reeves. And while he plays his role and does his role well, whether you think he does his role well or not, he knows what he is. But Pat Maroon can also play hockey too, which is good. So not only that, he can provide an offensive spark. He could be thrown in front of the net, you know, net front presence. He's not going to be scared. And dude, it's Big Rig. That dude is big boy, and he's not going to move. So I think that was a great pickup. You know, I don't. I thought his interview was a little interesting, saying I feel hated here and everything like that, which is, could you imagine being against the rivals, against the Bruins on several different teams, right? And then now you're on the Bruins, so it's kind of cool
Well,
to have him on the team and to see how it goes. Like kind of like getting Hathaway, you know, getting the guys that you hated, now they're on your team, now you love them.
I remember late 80s, early 90s when, you know, no one was more hated than Chris Nyland from Montreal. Even though he was a Boston boy, he was a Montreal Canadian. And when he joined the Bruins, he was welcomed with open arms. So I'm pretty sure the fans are going to love Pat Maroon. It's a game, you know, you hate and you love players, and sometimes you love to hate players. But I think he's going to be welcome with open arms because everybody realizes he's doing a good job there, or doing his job with the style of play. So I was kind of interesting that I think the Bruins are going to try to move Jake DeBrusk, and you might know more information off the top of your head. I'm not sure if his contract's up at the end of this year, if he's going to be unrestricted or a free agent or not. But I'm surprised the Bruins didn't try to move him, and Grizzlick as well. I think Grizzlick has been on the chopping block for some time, and maybe Don Sweeney couldn't make a deal that he felt was worth the trade.
Well, and looking at it right now, Dad, I'm on Twitter looking at the Bruins cap space page. It looks like we knew that Jake DeBrusk, he is going to be an unrestricted free agent. That was part of the argument about if he was going to get hot after the All-Star break to see how he's been playing. Are the Bruins going to use him as their own type of rental? Because what kind of upgrade could you have gotten with DeBrusk if you're looking for a NHL player swap in a trade? And unfortunately, with Grizzly too, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. Same thing with Forbert and Shattenkirk, Heinen, and Van Riemsdyk. Swayman and Boqvist are the only two that are restricted free agents with expiring contracts. So it'll be interesting, Dad. I don't think the Bruins are going to keep anything. Remember, the only thing that they can do at this point during the offseason is trading their signing rights, which didn't work for a Torey Krug trade and worked for a lot of different ones. So I wonder if the Bruins just said, you know what, we don't want somebody else to get Jake DeBrusk and him get hot and make it to the playoffs against us at some point. And the Bruins are holding on tight, or maybe they have contract talks. But the last time that we heard with contract negotiation talks between DeBrusk and Sweeney's teams are there hasn't been much of a discussion since the All-Star break, since he's been really cold. So it'll be interesting, Dad. You don't want to lose assets for nothing, especially when it's from the dreaded 2015 draft. So I don't know if Sweeney even cares about that anymore as much as it is worrying about what team he's putting on the ice. But it'll be interesting, Dad. This offseason will be interesting. And we'll have 22.53 million in cap space. We still need to sign Swayman, and then you got to find somebody for center or on the wings, because all we've got for left wing is Brad Marchand and Lauko under contract for the NHL roster. So it'll be interesting, man. Of course, Zacha could slide over to that. I don't know if he plays on the off wing or not when he goes to wing, but we'll see what happens.
So standing as of today, just in our division, Bruins is still third in the league overall. Let's see, 15 overtime losses has been really brutal. I don't think they can win in overtime. They need to solve that. So let's see here. Heading into the playoffs, and we'll get Cappy on here soon, but you've got Pastrnak. Top five in the league with scoring. He has 44 goals, 94 points. This marks his fourth season in a row that he's eclipsed the 40-plus goal mark, moving him to third all-time in Bruins history. Phil Esposito had seven straight 40-plus goal seasons. Charlie Coyle has really stepped it up this season in every aspect of his game. He's 4 points shy of tying a career high, which he had back in Minnesota back in 16-17. He has 21 goals, 52 points. So Zacha really turning it on as of late, has been stepping up. He's got 17 goals, 44 points. Frederick, we've talked about him stepping it up. Why don't you talk a little bit about Frederick so it's not all me talking?
Yeah, Trent Frederick has been an absolute improvement in the game. And, he's that type of player that you were hoping Trent Frederick would become. And obviously, there's a lot of growing pains in the beginning. I think, the Bruins fans have been restless about their first round draft picks that either we've traded away or the ones that we've gotten. A lot of people have doubted, especially, having such high first round draft picks competing for the cup every year. But he's done so well, Dad. And I think that now he's really turned into that player this season. He knows his role. He's been slotted on different lines, different positions throughout the whole lineup throughout the whole year, and he's adapted well. I feel like he provides a spark. He's got the speed, man. He's got a Charlie Coyle-esque with puck possession skills. I mean, he knows how to hold on to the puck and get it into the ozone and keep it with him and move it around. I love when him and Coyle are on a line together. I hate that Montgomery breaks him up, but I know Coyle's got to play more top 6 minutes. But it's nice that Frederick can kind of slot in anywhere. And two, Dad, listen, we talk about the whole toughness thing. And when we talk about toughness and physicality, we won't talk necessarily about fighting and things like that, but he brings that element of everywhere, right? He's going to stick up for his teammates. He's a big kid now, Dad. He's grown in. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. So, he's getting to that heavyweight. And, having guys like him and Maroon, or even like, some small guys like Lauko that are out there buzzing around doing their thing. It's good to have a guy like Trent Frederick out there. He's got one more year after this with his contract. And I'm hoping to God that they sign him to a pretty big deal, because that's somebody you want to keep around, Dad.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And I think the Bruins, too, on a sort of a minor note, signed it was another year with Wotherspoon for like
Yep.
800,000.
Yeah, and I think Wotherspoon, that's his first NHL contract too. I mean, he's been a career AHLer, and he's finally made it. He found a good system with the Bruins, and I think he adapts well, Dad. He's been great. In fact, you know what everybody's been kind of comparing is he's been kind of the replacement for Forbert. You know, he does the block shots. He's on the penalty kill. And look, he's tough too, man. The kid's not afraid to drop the gloves and fight when he's got to. And he's always clearing out the front of the net. So, tough kid. You know that's a Bruin right there for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with him when he first joined. I thought he was just the inexperience was showing, and I'm sure that it did. But then Capuano really kind of really likes the kid, and he kind of after talking with him, he kind of convinced me that you know the kid's got some talent, and I think once he does this playoff run, which I'm sure he's going to stay with the team through the rest of the year, I think that's going to make him a much more experienced playoff experience defenseman, and he'll take that to the Bruins next year. So again, another good move. And 2 years ago, we were criticizing Don Sweeney, talking about his terrible drafts, talking about, you know, just in general, it's time to move on from Don Sweeney. And then last year, he handed Montgomery the team that should have won the Stanley Cup, and it was kudos to Don Sweeney and Neely and management. This year, it looks like Don Sweeney has made good deals again. I really can't fault him for, you know, anything. He certainly hasn't given anything away, and the Bruins have gotten in return more than what they've given away, I think. And you know, thank God Ullmark is saying, just keep me here, because I understand it's more of a business financial thing. The Bruins are under a tough cap space at the moment, but I think keeping Ullmark and giving him and showing him a little bit of loyalty for the player he has become last season and this season, I think it's going to pay off for the Bruins.
And Dad, I also too, I don't want to forget to give a big shout out to you know, other than James Van Riemsdyk, who by the way has been a great pickup for the Bruins, but Dad, somebody that we have given a lot of shit to as a player when he was on the Bruins the first time. We didn't like his style of game. We were happy with the 1-to-1 trade with Nick Ritchie, but you know, I was reluctant to when he joined the Bruins again. But he's really surprised us, Dad. Danton Heinen, right? He's played 59 games so far for us this season. He's making league minimum. He has 11 goals, 25 points and +6. I mean, if he's a 30, 40 point player and he's making $1 million a year, I mean, dude, the dude's great. He's been playing great hockey. And Dad, he's been getting it mixed up too. I mean, he's not afraid to go over there and, you know, cross check the guy, protect a little teammate here and there too. I mean, his game has completely changed. I feel like in one of his interviews when he finally signed his contract and I think was playing his debut game again with the Bruins, he was talking about how, proud and how happy he was to be wearing the jersey again. And I think he really understands the significance of donning that Bruins crest. So kudos to him, man. I really hope Don Sweeney locks him up for another year or two with us. I think he'd be great.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. I think the guy was in desperation mode. I mean, after that, either he was going to have to kind of retire, because I don't see, I think he's too good to play in the AHL. But if he wasn't going to, you know, produce in the NHL, he might have had to go overseas, you know, and find that an overseas league. And if he wanted to continue to play, I don't know if it was Monty or Sweeney or both that gave him the professional tryout at camp. I think that was an embarrassment for Heinen to do that, but he did it sort of as his last ditch effort. And hey, he plays with desperation, so he's deserved it. I'm in agreement with you. It's a another great move by Sweeney. You know, and Heinen, you know, when he gets hot, he's really good. I mean, he's a good player. You know, he doesn't produce the way that, you know, a top elite player does. But you know, he can be a good third liner there, and he could also step up into the second line. I mean, he makes the plays. He's just got to do
Yeah,
it more consistently.
exactly. Yeah, and you know what, too? I mean, if you can get a guy like that, he's like a Swiss Army knife. You know, you could just very versatile, put him anywhere, very good defensively, which, as you know, is in the Bruins system. It's all about two-way play. That's the way that they develop their players, you know, all the way from the ECHL level on. So it'll be interesting, Dad. You know, I think that obviously the Bruins are a dark horse for a Stanley Cup final contender by any means, but you know, you go back to 2019 with St. Louis. You know, they were clawing their way into a playoff spot this time. Florida Panthers last year, they just barely made the playoffs and then beat the top President's Trophy, you know, record-breaking team, the Bruins. And so, you know, if the Bruins can just continue to do what they do, you know, Dad, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of glad the Bruins are going through this tough time right now because maybe that's what they need, is to be in desperation mode as they go into the playoffs, because it seems like with the Bruins team sometimes, anytime we get comfortable, anytime we're in the lead, whether it's in a game, whether it's in a series, whether it's in the season, they like to take their foot off the gas pedal. And Marchand's admitted that before. They, if you look at the stats, they cater to who they play. They do much better against top playoff contender contention versus the lower seed teams. That's not a good mindset to have or a good attitude. That can be argued, but hopefully that they, in the playoffs, they play when the games are important, which will be every game. So hopefully they don't take their gas off the foot pedal, or their foot off the gas pedal, excuse me.
So we don't have time to cover and for us to research every trade of every team, but those are just some highlights. And we'll call this one a quick episode here. We'll have on more as far as looking at the NHL playoffs with Dave Capuano as it gets closer to the playoffs, and get his prediction as well, which is usually spot on who's going to make it to the finals and who might win it. And we also will be covering a lot more hockey and guests. Just as a side note, Andrew and I, so again, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now. Andrew's in Jacksonville, Florida on tour with his band. But last week, we were actually both able to meet up in Boston, our hometown, up in Beverly, Massachusetts. And we want to give a shout out to a few people up there, particularly if you ever go to the North Shore up there by Beverly, Salem, Peabody area. Got to go to Super Sub, have a cheesesteak sandwich. So I want to give a shout out to Paul Guansey for always being a good friend and treating Andrew's band to some great cheesesteak subs. I think the best in the world. Andrew, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget to, there's plenty of other places to check out, but even if you like just cheap fast food too, right by the water, Bill and Bob's. Ooh, that place is amazing. Of course, if you like roast beef, you got Nick's Roast Beef, famous roast beef sandwiches there. Dude, Beverly's a hidden gem, man. We'll always shout out the hometown Beverly, bro, because Beverly, Mass, that north end, it's beautiful up there, man.
So it was kind of cool that Andrew and I were able to kind of just hook up while he was on tour for like a day, really, a night and part of a day. But it was great seeing you, Andrew, last week, and you drive safe. Let's see, you guys are going where? You got a couple dates in Florida, then you go where?
Yeah, so the next few shows, we've got Jacksonville show tomorrow. So we got the day off at the beach today. And then we've got Panama City Beach Festival. So if you guys are in Panama City Beach, the Paint the Town Festival that they do every year for St. Paddy's Day, we're playing at the 5 p.m. slot outside. And then we're playing New Orleans on St. Paddy's Day for another St. Paddy's Day festival there downtown near the famous Bourbon Street. So that will be cool. And then we'll play in Lafayette 2 days after that. So, Dad, we got a party weekend coming up, but St. Paddy's Day too, so don't forget to wear your green.
Well, our family, I won't get in on this. I will wear green because, your stepmom, my wife Michelle, is Irish. But the old Scot in me, the old MacLeod, MAC, not MC, the old Scot in me, wants to wear orange. I guess Scots don't celebrate St. Paddy's Day, but I think that's an old thing. I don't know. That's what my relative used to say. But yes, I will wear green. Happy Paddy's Day to all. May the luck of the Irish be with you. And then you guys finally get what? You're going through Texas, a lot of dates in Texas, and then back up to Arkansas, and then you're home, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Yep, so we're getting close, finishing up. And don't forget too, we are releasing this episode now, as we're recording in real time. This will be uploaded this evening because, Dad, tomorrow
Actually,
is the real
I
episode.
think actually, Andrew, I'm going to stop you there because I think what we're going to do is we're going to release tomorrow's episode first, and then this one probably a few days later.
Okay, well, we'll see then. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in.
All right, Andrew, be safe. To all, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
All right, sounds good, Dad. Thanks.